Well, good morning, church. Good morning, church. Oh, that's better. And good morning to all of you who may be watching us wherever you are online. We appreciate your involvement in our worship, even though you're not present here. You're present in spirit, and we always want to acknowledge that we have folks who are shut-ins and those who are traveling and those who just got up late and decided, okay, today would be a day I'll tune in online. So we're grateful that you're with us as well. I don't know if pollen has been bothering you or not, but it bothers me a little bit this spring. And so forgive me, I've got a throat lozenge that I'm going to try not to suck down my windpipe. I shared with a group somewhere not long ago of a preacher who normally put in a throat lozenge in his mouth when he began to preach because that was his timer. There wasn't a clock. And so when it melted and finished, he knew it was time to stop. Well, one day he preached on and 45 minutes, don't worry, hour 15. And he finally winds down. And he checks, and it wasn't a throat lozenge, it was a button. So I always check to make sure I have no buttons in my pocket when I'm... Two fifth grade boys, Carl and Jeff, had just finished their history exam, wrote their names on the paper, handed it in to their teacher, and waited till the next day to make sure they got the good grade back. As she handed out the papers to the class, everyone except Carl and Jeff. She said she would like to see them after class, and they really weren't sure what that meant. Did they ace it? And she wanted to congratulate them, whatever it was. Bell rang, all the class dispersed, and she motioned for them to come to the desk, and she handed them the papers and said, "I'm going to fail you both." Fail us? Why? Well, what happened? What fail? Well, your answers were just too much alike. One of you cheated and the other one let it happen. Well, maybe that was just a coincidence. She said, "Well, I did consider that. Except on question number 10, Carl, you put, I don't know. Jeff, you put, me neither." Fail. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I suspect all of us could raise a hand and say we have failed at something. Maybe it was an exam. Maybe we failed a driver's test. Maybe we missed that 2-foot putt and double bogeyed the final hole and lost the tournament. Maybe we failed at something large, like we just messed up and lost a huge client. Or we failed to make the sale that we just knew was going to be there and the bonus was coming, and that feeling of desperation and failure. All of us have failed at something. Now, I understand the consequences of failure in some areas, like, you know, you miss a move in checkers is one thing, and breaking a vow or a promise to a friend is another. Huge difference, but it's still failure. Failure is just part of the journey. You know, the story of Alexander Graham Bell and his invention of the phone. Well, all of the inventions of people who've tried over and over have failed at some point. Thomas Edison, goodness. The legend is he tried 10,000 ways to make a light bulb until he found the one that worked. And someone asked him, you know, you failed 10,000 times. He said, no, I just now know 10,000 ways it won't work. I like that attitude. That's an attitude that says, well, the things that don't work like I think they ought to are just temporary. It's part of the journey. I'm going to now find another way to do it. And eventually, I do. Isaiah 61:1. Love the passage. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To bind up the brokenhearted. You see what happens in failure if you fail over and over and over, it becomes brokenness. You can take a piece of copper wire, for example, I don't think there's a human being in this room that could take two ends of that copper wire and pull it apart. But if you bend it over and over, soon metal fatigue takes place and it does break. And that's what happens in our lives, isn't it? We just get bent over and over and the failures accumulate until we're broken. God is still in the business of healing the brokenhearted. Does God really care about the broken? If he didn't, he sure wouldn't have sent his only one-of-a-kind, unique son to heal us. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have sent Jesus to care for people. 7 times in the Gospels, the writers record that Jesus had compassion on the people. The blind, the hungry, the diseased, the lost. Matthew 9:36 says that when he saw the crowds, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion on them because they're broken. There's some broken people in this room today. You might not even know why you came this particular morning. There are people watching online that are broken today, and you may not even remember why you tuned in today, but you did. There's something about today. A nudge from God's Spirit? I don't know. Some people say, well, God couldn't care about me. I am so broken that there's no way I could ever be brought back together. I could never be healed. I had an uncle who claimed that if he walked into the church building, the ceiling would fall down. And it just might have, I don't know. But his point was he was so far off, so far broken that he could, in his mind, never be healed. When God wanted to deliver a people who were slaves in Egypt, he sent a man, Moses. When he wanted to save a city named Nineveh, he sent a man named, just make sure you're still with me. When he wanted to save the world, he sent Jesus. Because the world's definition includes brokenness. We sing a song sometimes that says, and nothing's really too hard for Jesus, for God. And it's, we sing that, you know, did he move mountains? Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. I love the song by Elevation Worship. I would encourage you to search for it online somewhere and just listen to it. It's first time I heard it, I just had to stop and absorb it. And I still do every time I hear it. It's called Graves into Gardens. Let me share a few words. It's a long song, so let me just share a few words that speak to me about brokenness. I searched the world over, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. my failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. Because the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing that's better than you. You turn mourning into dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Everything expressed in that song is biblically true. And if he can do all of that, there is no situation that God cannot straighten out. There's no brokenness that he cannot mend. And whatever mess you may be in, he can make a way out. There's still hope because he's still a friend. Some in their trouble even assume that God's against them. And you may hear someone after a catastrophic event in their life say, "Why did God do that? Why did God let that happen?" That's not the case. He's not against us. As Isaiah 61:1 says prophetically about Jesus, that the Lord sent his son to heal the brokenhearted. God is not the enemy, or he wouldn't have sent Jesus. When God sent Jesus, he sent the best he had to heal our brokenness, to heal you. He's the ultimate one, you see, who knows how to provide the appropriateness of sympathy. But beyond that, empathy. Earlier in this Isaiah prophecy, speaking of Jesus, a text that we frequently look at in Isaiah 53, look at verses 4 through 6. "Surely he took our infirmities and carries our sorrows, and yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we're healed. We're all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned in his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." There's another text over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Maybe you're familiar with it as well. "For we don't have a high priest," the writer says, "who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Read brokenness. "And yet he's without sin. And let us then approach," get this, "we're broken, sinful, weak, straying sheep. But get this next verse. "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence." Don't read arrogance, but confidence, boldness. "So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." When someone like us makes it to heaven, and someone says, "How did you get there? How did you manage to get here?" Don't begin your answer with the pronoun "I." You know, "I was baptized. I was faithful. I went to church every time the doors were open. I was involved in all these ministries." Don't begin with "I." Begin with "he." He shed his grace. He died for me. He gave me mercy. He healed my brokenness. Because it's he that did all of that, not I. It's not I, but Christ living in me. Jesus, just put it simply, understands our troubles because he suffered troubles. More than ours. His sorrows were deeper than ours. I've never prayed to the point that I sweated blood, but he did. Never been beaten, scourged, but he was. Never nailed to a cross, but he was. And why did he do that? So he could heal us of our brokenness. He often said words like, don't be afraid, take courage. Don't be afraid, take courage. Why? Because he came to heal our brokenness. Jesus healed people who had been controlled by demons, like Mary of Magdala, or the demon-possessed man who was uncontrollable, who lived in a cemetery. Healed him. He restored hope for those who had said goodbye to friends and family and children and parents. He stood at the grave of Lazarus and wept. He was with the widow at Nain, Jairus' daughter. Jesus knows the sadness of walking through that valley of the shadow of death Greg talked about in class this morning. He reminds us in passages like John 5:25 and Revelation 1:18 that a time is coming when the dead will hear his voice, the Son of God, and those who will hear him will live, and because he holds the keys of death and Hades. That's who he is. That's who he was. Who he always will be. And whatever chain is binding you, he can break it. Wherever you're broken, he can heal it. He dealt with difficult people. You deal with difficult people. Are there difficult people in your life that you deal with? Some of you are willing to admit it. There was a lady who was having terrible pain. They had given her some sedation to kind of calm her down. And the doctor was examining her, and maybe she had an appendicitis, and he was pressing on her stomach and said, no, where is your pain now? And through her fog of medication, she said, he's at work. Jesus dealt with difficult people. Could be a spouse you're dealing with, but he knows how to deal with difficult people. You know how? He just loved them. Helped them anyway. And whatever straw has broken your camel's back, there is hope, because Christ heals broken hearts. He restores ruined lives. He bears our burdens. There's a story from many years ago about an African caravans, long before there were vehicles that would do this or airdrops that would drop in supplies. There would be caravans that would have to travel long distances through really rugged and dangerous country in order to get supplies to the villages. And when you signed up for that job, there was one thing you must understand, that if somewhere along the way you sprained an ankle, broke a leg, whatever may have happened to you that caused a disability, they would leave you. because it was more important that the village get the supplies than taking care of just one. Now, you Star Trek fans may have some connection with that. That the group, the bigger group, is more valuable than the one. And they had no, as people went in to try to translate into scripture into that language, they had no word for friend, which seems odd to me, but they had even a word that may have even been better than friend. It was one who falls down beside me. And what that conveyed was, if you were disabled, broke a leg, there would be someone from the group who would fall down beside you and pick you up and carry you. That's Jesus. Whatever your brokenness is, he will fall down beside you and pick you up and carry you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, "You cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." The original language of that text says you deposit for all time. Whatever it is that's weighing you down, deposit for all time. You don't ever have to go back and pick it up again. You just leave it there with him. Cast all your cares and anxieties on him. Preacher named Joe Barnett down in Texas used to tell the story of a lady where he preached that came to see him one day, and she was pouring out her heart about stuff that she had done and was just struggling, still struggling with. And they prayed together and she left feeling relieved of all that anxiety and burden. And a year or so later, she came back to his office and said she needed to talk and started going through all the same stuff. And he said, wait a minute. Isn't this the same stuff we talked about last time you were here? And yeah, it is. Well, why are you asking God to remember what he's forgotten so he can forget it again? I thought that's a pretty good answer. Leave it with him. Let him have it. Don't ever go back and pick it up again. He settled that for you. That's what healing of brokenness is. Many things that are valuable in our lives get broken and we just throw them away. Get a new one. Don't try to fix it. But people, hearts of people, are valuable to God because when he mends them, they're now the strong place. That's why he came. Blessed. Remember? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Think broken here. Until you come to God with a broken spirit, he can't heal what you aren't willing to acknowledge is broken. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Most of us probably have periodic checkups. And if you're not in the habit of doing that, shame on you. Get an appointment as soon as possible. And we do that because of perhaps there'll be future health problems that we can head off and get the testing done. And exams are not always pleasant. The doctors get a little personal with poking and prodding and squeezing and blood drawn. But we submit because we know it's for our good. When was the last time you let the Lord check up on you? Run you through the paces? David said in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 4, "Search me, O God," he says, "and know my heart." Whew. Know my heart. "Try me," he says, "and see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting." His name was John Bohr. He was a high school student who had gotten a job for the summer in a large bakery. And one particular day, the phone rang, and it wasn't an order. The lady who answered it said, okay, hung up and shouted, he's coming! And everybody started scurrying. Instantly, hair nets went on. Clean aprons were put on. The boss told John to sweep the floor, cover all the containers. And he had this kind of wild-eyed look in his face. And John had no idea who was coming. Was it the second coming? He didn't know. People started scrubbing counters and floors. And a little time later, the bakery door opened, and in walked a man in a suit with a notepad and began walking around looking for health issues. It seems that they had kind of made a unspoken pact that if the inspector came to one, they would alert everybody else that he's coming. He is coming. The ultimate health inspector is coming. And he's going to check and inspect. You see, Jesus is coming back. And if your heart is right, you're okay. That's the promise, because of what he's done, not because of what I did. The place to let Jesus heal the brokenness is right here and right now in his new community. We call it church. Jesus has designated people who have hearts for the broken people. Some of you are here in this body, this church, this new community, because somebody reached out and helped you find Jesus who healed your brokenness. I guess there's sort of a inherent fear in acknowledging failure. I know we live in a world of spin. Football players do it. Well, if it hadn't been for the wind or my hamstring, just try to spin it, make everybody believe it wasn't my problem. Politicians do it. Oh, do they do it? Preachers do it. Kids do it. And there's this inherent fear of coming out and saying, you know, I messed up. In fact, I blow it quite often. I mess up quite often. And when the church is working like it's supposed to, when it's healthy, it is the very place where you can say that without fear. James 5:16, that familiar passage says, confess your sins to one another. And you, why is that important, Lord? It's not so much about the physical healing. It's the next part of that verse that becomes relevant, I think, to us. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. Healed of your brokenness, the weak place, the spot where you need some strengthening. We want people to come to Jesus today as they did when he was walking this planet. He had come to give invitations to people who would embrace him as the Lord of the universe, the King of Kings. To come as you are. And music is something that speaks to me in a way nothing else does. And there's a song you may have heard by an artist known as Crowder. Let me share a few verses with you that I think speak about this very subject. And you've probably heard the song. And it's titled, Come As You Are. See if this speaks to you. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted. Let the rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table. Come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. There's joy in the morning, O sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens. Lay down your shame, all who are broken. Lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt and lay down your heart. Come as you are. Some of you have probably had to be restrained this morning because you wanted to run up here and see what's in my bag. You've been wondering all morning. Well, I'm going to show you. It's not living. It's a simple extension cord. You know how extension cords work. As long as it's plugged into a live receptacle, you can plug in an appliance to the other end and, man, electricity flows through and it operates. Now, those of you, I don't know whether you can see it or not. Perhaps you can. On one end of this extension cord, you see three yellow wire nuts and some electrical tape. Guess what happened? Yeah. I was trimming when we lived on Muir's Chapel. I was trimming some hedges one day and not paying attention to what I was doing. It didn't know the difference between a limb and my extension cord. And I cut it in two. And guess what happened to my hedge trimmer? Stopped working. Duh. So what I did was I put the appropriate white wire with the white wire, black wire to the black wire, ground wire to the ground wire, put some wire nuts on it, covered it with electrical tape. And you're maybe thinking, well, now it's as good as new. No, it's not. It's not as good as new, but it still functions as if it was. You get the point? Whatever the brokenness is that God heals, it won't be as good as new. You'll still have the scars. You'll still have the appearance of the results of whatever it was that broke you, but you'll still function as good as new. I just thought about how in the world does this world get along with all of its brokenness and not understand how important it is to get wired back together by the Master who knows what he's doing. And now we can function again. That's been over 40 years ago. And I still use this extension cord because it still works. You have brokenness in your life that God needs to heal. He can do it if you just back off and let him. If you let him have whatever it is that's breaking you and broken you, there's hope for the helpless and those who've strayed. Come to the table and come taste the grace. Lay down your burdens and lay down your shame. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt. Lay down your heart. Come as you are. I told Jason last week after his sermon that when he asked me to speak today, that I had already prepared what I was going to say, and that was a month ago now. And I couldn't believe how well it dovetailed with what he did last week. And we'd never collaborated. Somehow that worked. I happen to think it's the Spirit of God that puts that together. And the thing that caught my attention at the end of his lesson, one of the things, was when, and I'll put it in my words today, that when God heals the brokenness, you now have a story to tell. I once was, but Jesus, and now I. There's somebody here today who really didn't intend, when they were thinking about it yesterday, decide they were going to come today, but for some reason you came. Maybe it was because you needed to know that brokenness can be healed. There's somebody online listening today. You don't know why you tuned in. You hadn't done that in a while. But this morning you decided, well, let me see what's going on over there at Friendly Avenue. I know why. Because God's calling you. He is wooing you. Well, that's an old word, isn't it? He is calling you. Let your brokenness be healed. There are shepherds that will be in the back today in our prayer room. They'll be ready and willing and able to work with you, pray with you, just to release it and let your burdens rest with Jesus. Never go back and pick them up again. And heal your broken spirit. Come as you are. Chad, would you lead us, please?